What's up, safety people? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. This week, Health and Safety at Work Act Explained. We're going to go through the most important sections in the Health and Safety at Work Act that you must know. We're also going to define or explain, reasonably practicable again, and maybe a little bit of history. Let's get into the podcast.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulations.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Fluent and your host, James McPherson. Okay then, let's talk about the Health and Safety at Work Act. Health and Safety at Work, etc. Act 1974. So what is Health and Safety at Work Act? Well, as you've probably heard on nearly every health and safety induction for anywhere you've ever worked, they bored the tits off of me and you. It is the primary piece of legislation covering We're not going to go into the depths of it. We're not going to talk too much about stuff you do not need to know. Interesting facts we might touch on, such as this one. In 2000 and... Oh, where's the date gone? I've lost the date of my notes. Here we go. In July 17, there we go, sorry about that. The HSE published a chart which basically shows that from just before the publication of this act... up to 2016, health and safety or fatalities and high-risk incidents have been on a downward trend since then. So, they should put that out there straight away. This is a cracking piece of work. This is a great piece of work, and it's a great piece of legislation. Sometimes it's referred to as an enabler or an enabling act. Why is that? Well, because I am not a lawyer, so I'm probably not going to get this right, but from what I can understand and what you need to know, is basically makes it quicker through the courts, because the stuff underneath it are secondary pieces of legislation, so they're regulations, not acts, so they're a little bit easier to pass. And that's why most of the convictions that you'll see are against sections within the Health and Safety at Work Act, not the manual handling regulations or anything like that. Yeah, so I think it's classed as like a statutory instrument of those, a secondary piece of legislation, blah 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 blah. Anyway, you do not really need to know that. It's just an interesting fact. So I'm going to go through the sections that you need to know, okay, because there's a lot of sections in there. Actually, for fact, there is let's have a look. This was not in my script, so anyway, that's why it's not. Oh, look at this, there's loads. There's 85 sections, and then there's 10 schedules after it. And you know what? I don't even know half of it, if I'm honest. I know some key points, and that's about it, really, and that's probably all you need to know. So let's get into those ones. We're going to go through Section 2, Section 3, Section 6, Section 7, Section 8, Section 20, Section 37, which is an interesting one, Section 9 as well, and then we're going to go over reasonably practicable, which I have gone through before, but it's very, very important, so we're going to go through it again. Let's go then. Section 2. I'm going to proper dumb this down. Basically, this is employer's duty on to the employees, right? So basically, it says you got to protect your employees, you got to provide safe plants, safe services, safe arrangements, provide information, instruction, training, supervision, maintain safe access and egress, and maintain and provide a safe environment. Well, that's pretty simple, right? Easy peasy. So, maintain and provide a safe environment. So, the building, the ground, the stuff around us, the air, stuff like that. Within reason, within your control, make sure it's safe. How do we do that? Well, we maintain it. Well, it's an asset to us anyway, so we're going to maintain it anyway because that building is an asset within our business. So, okay, cool. Maintain safe access and egress. Well, we need to get in the building and out the building without killing ourselves, so that's pretty easy. We're just going to have a nice, reasonable, safe path to go in and out. Reasonable. What's reasonable? reasonable is a scary word. So reasonable would be a path to the front door. Within reason. That's it, isn't it? Simple. Oh, what about when it gets icy? Well, put some friggin' salt on there. Easy peasy. Anyway, provide information, instruction, and training. This is real good. I like this one. Information, policies, procedures, aid memoirs, videos, etc., etc., etc. Instruction, SOPs, standard operating procedures. How you do your job. Excuse me if I keep coughing, by the way. I have got a bit of a cough. I can't seem to get rid of it. Anyway, training. And when I say training, I mean training. I would class e-learning as information or education, not training. And here's a little quip, which I think I've said before on the podcast, but it's worth a secondary mention. What's the difference between education and training? Would you prefer your kids to go on sex education or sex training? I know for sure I've mentioned that maybe in the last podcast or the one before, but I just think it's cracking. So we're just probably going to mention it every single podcast. But have a think about that. Information, instruction, training. Okay, so we're informing people on everything within the business. FYI, keep your eye out over there because that light's broke at the moment. We're getting it fixed next week. Boom, information. Instruction. Do this, please. This machine does this and this and this. Information. Hey, I'm going to show you how to do it. You do it now. Okay, I do it. Boom, trained. Real simple. Safe arrangements. Yeah, risk assessments. The policies and all this stuff. These are our arrangements within the business. How we do what we do to keep safe. Safe plant and services. Plant, equipment, you know, trucks, whatever you want to use. It's safe. Well, it's an asset, so you're going to maintain it anyway. So just maintain it. Simple, simple stuff. Services. Safe services. What's safe services? Well, everything in the business is services. It's I think it's pretty obvious. It's completely left my brain as to what a service is. Basically, we just basically maintain everything that we own. That's all we do. But they're assets anyway, guys. So that's what you should be focusing on. The fact that, you know, if you maintain a piece of equipment, it's going to last for longer anyway. It's simple stuff. Simple, simple stuff. Anyway, section 3. Let's jump on because I lost my train of thought on that one. Section 3 then. Section 3 is the general duties on employers and self-employed to persons of... Oh, my washing machine just went. Sorry, scared the shit out of me then. Whew. Anyway. General duties of employers and self-employed to persons other than their employees. So basically, everyone else. Yeah, so it goes on here, shall be the duty of every employer to conduct in his undertaking in such a way to ensure, so far as reasonably practicable, that persons not in his employment who may be affected thereby, or not thereby, are not thereby exposed to risk to their health or safety. And breathe. Jesus Christ, that's a nightmare, isn't it? And that's not even half of it. Paragraph 2 of Section 3. It shall be the duty of every self-employed person who conducts an undertaking of a prescribed description to conduct the undertaking in such a way to ensure, so far as reasonably practicable, that he and other persons, brackets, not being his employees, close brackets, who may be affected thereby, are not thereby exposed to the risk of their health or safety. Jesus Christ, that's really difficult. I'm quite impressed I did that. So what's that say? Well, that's pretty much everything you do. So that's the customer. If you're a builder and you're building an extension on the side of the building, it's doing within reason stuff to stop anything falling off the scaffold to a member of the public, to stop the customer getting hurt, you know. And this could involve anything from general information, instructions, training, all the way to physically putting a barrier in place. So how do we work that out? Well, so far as reasonably practicable, what's that? That's an assessment. It's a risk assessment. Yeah. So that's the one to know. You have a duty to your employees, and you have a duty to everyone who is not your employee. So in short, you have a duty to absolutely bloody everybody. Cool. Now we've cleared that one out. Let's go over to section 6. Section 6 then. Section 6 is the duties on manufacturers, etc., etc. So this is a pretty big one. I'm not going to go through it because it's absolutely huge, this one. But basically, this is the general duties of manufacturers, etc., as regards articles and substances for use of work. Basically, guys, if you design, make, import, or supply anything, you have to make sure it is safe. And within this, they specifically go into fairground equipment as well, which is an FYI. I'm not even going to touch on that because I know nothing about fairground equipment, and I would not be honest if I was to pretend that I do. And I don't, I've never even read that section. I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't even know it was fucking there. Oh my god, that's the first F word. There we go. It's broke now, guys. The seal is broke. It's like when you go out on the piss at the town, you go for the first wee, it's just coming out the whole time. That's it now. Back and forth to sweary land. Anyway, so I not even looked at that. Didn't even know it was there until I started doing my research for this podcast. Anyway, basically, why did I put this one in there? I think this is an interesting one for entrepreneurs that make stuff and ship it out. Basically, it means you've got a duty to the people that use it, clean it, everything. Anyone that can come in contact with this product cannot, within reason, hurt themselves. So, the interesting one is cleaning and maintaining. So, you know, you get like high-rise buildings, and there was this big thing a long time ago. I can't remember the actual story or the actual case study, but long story short, there was this thing where they couldn't clean it, and I think some guy died or hurt himself or whatever when he was trying to clean the window of this real high building. And then they tweaked it, and they said, right, the duties you've got to think about when you're designing stuff, how it's going to be cleaned, how it's going to be maintained. So then they made these windows that flip inside out. Genius. Unfortunately, it took somebody dying or whatever, like I say, I can't remember, but it took something bad happening, like everything does in this country, for it to be changed, and then it took a bit of law for people to start listening. So, this is basically applicable to any of you that design, make, sell, import, supply, anything, okay? So, it's a very, very interesting one. In short, as far as you're actually reasonably practicable, it's all safe, provide information, and revisions of the information within reason. So, you know, you can put on the bottom of the information booklet that you put for latest versions of this, please see our website, easy peasy. Ensure it's tested. And that's pretty much about it. I mean, this one is quite in depth. So if you do make something, you're probably going to be fully aware of it anyway. But just go and have a look on there. But to be honest, guys, it's pretty much stuff that you would do anyway, because you ain't going to make anything that's not safe. So, you know, and it's all within reason as well. So, but it's just one to be aware of. Section 6, the Health and Safety at Work Act, if you make, supply or sell or whatever, anything. Section 7. Duties on employees. Employees, yes. Duties on employees. You are not untouchable, you employees that sit out there. So if you're a manager of a business and you have a duty then that's kind of maybe not legally a duty to you, but it may be delegated within the business for you to kind of maybe provide information, instruction and supervision. Did I mention supervision? Anyway, FYI, if I didn't, section 2, so don't forget supervision is in there with information, instruction and training. Reasonable supervision. Anyway, so you are kind of doing that job for the employer, but also within that business you are an employee. And then some people are just general employees, you know, fair enough. You want to turn up, do your job, go home. Nice. We need people like that. So these employees do not get away scot-free. They have a duty as well to take reasonable care for the health and safety of himself or other persons who may be affected by his acts or omissions at work. Acts or omissions. Omissions means what you don't do. Acts means what you do do. Do-do. Anyway, moving swiftly on. So basically, it just means that you can't be a dick at work. Also says in there, interestingly, you have a duty to cooperate as far as is necessary to enable that the duty or requirement be performed or complied with. So again, that basically just means you're not allowed to be a dick. You basically just got to do as you're told, within reason. That being said, employers have a duty to involve you in those decisions and involve you with, you know, changes in the workplace as well. So hopefully this won't be a bit of a problem here, because you'll do it because you're involved in the risk assessment, you're involved in the change and everything like that. So you'll feel like you've got ownership anyway. Hashtag safety heaven. Anyway, so section 7, general duties of employees at work. That's a good one. I like that one. Section 8. This is an interesting one as well. Duty on all to not interfere or misuse anything provided in the interest of safety. Everyone want to hear the official one? Duty not to interfere with or misuse things provided pursuant to certain provisions. They never just do it simple in law, do they? Pursuant to certain provisions. No person shall intentionally or recklessly interfere with or misuse anything provided in the interest of health, safety or welfare in pursuance of any of the relevant statutory provisions. So basically, if you're given a pair of cut-proof gloves and you cut the fingers off of it, ironically, because that means they're not cut-proof. Anyway, I've seen it. Anyway, you cut the fingers off of that so that you can use the touchscreen, you're directly in breach of Section 8. Yeah, because that was provided to you within the interest of safety, and therefore you have misused that intentionally, you're in breach of Section 8. So just have a think about that when we are tweaking the tools or the guards, you know, taping the interlocking guards shut so we can just keep the gate going and all that. I've seen it all. Manufacturing is probably one of the worst areas for it. So bear that in mind, people. Section 8, do not interfere. So basically, so in summary, Section 7, Section 8 translates to don't be a douchebag. Section 9 then. This is an interesting one. I always wonder how recruitment agencies get away with this. But anyway, Section 9, duty not to charge employees for anything, for things done or provided pursuant to certain specific requirements. Basically, don't charge for PPE. That's in summary, that is it. Do not charge for PPE, because it's kind of the only thing that you would probably think that you could get away with charging. Basically, if you provide anything in the interest of safety or specific requirements, you cannot charge for it. I find this very interesting in recruitment agencies. They kind of charge you for the boots, and if you don't give the boots back, you don't get your money back. So it's kind of like a deposit. I find that very interesting. I think that's kind of teetering on the law anyway. Also, construction is a very interesting industry because everybody's self-employed. So it's you're self-employed, and I've got a team of six, and they're all self-employed, and it's all a bit messy. And I think one day something's going to change around there. But that aside, that's very interesting, because that means that big companies and corporations that actually own the whole job, and the ones that are actually making the real money here, they don't have to ship out loads and loads of hard hats and goggles, etc. In theory. I mean, I don't know. I've not really had that much exposure to construction sites. I've only ever really been in a few of them. I'm more involved on the design stage of things. So once it gets to the actual doing, I'll just walk away. Anyway, so that's interesting. There are ways around these laws, as per is anything. Anything made for good can be used for bad. So now we're going to skip all the way up to Section 20. Excuse me. Section 20 is an interesting one. Powers of inspectors. This is huge. Absolutely huge. It's got 8 paragraphs, and then under that it's got, what's paragraph 2 goes from A to M. Jesus Christ. Huge paragraph. Why is this such a big paragraph? Because these guys are police officers on steroids. Shit, these guys can do anything. There is, if I remember correctly, there is a little caveat at the bottom of one of these paragraphs. I've lost it in my notes and now I can't even find it on the screen either. Oh, here we go. Subparagraph M of paragraph 2 in section 20. Any other power which is necessary for the purpose mentioned in subsection 1 above. So basically, anything that you're doing that's bad, they can have any powers to stop you doing that thing that is bad. That's it. It's nuts. These guys have actually got more powers than the police. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. They can pretty much knock on the door and walk in tomorrow. They could have a copper with them. They can take shit. They can take photos of stuff. They can take copies of stuff. They can take samples. They can do interviews. They can literally do whatever the poop they want. They can also issue notices, which is interesting. They can issue you a prohibition notice and a improvement notice. So improvement notice means you've been a little bit naughty there. So basically you need to pull your socks up and nip it in the bud and really sort your shit out, right? Because next time I come back, I'm going to issue you with a prohibition notice. A prohibition notice means shit, that's going to hurt. You need to really, really stop what you're doing. Yeah, so interesting fact here is that an improvement notice pauses when you appeal it. So you appeal it and it is suspended whilst the appeal process is going through. A prohibition notice, obviously, for that is applied to tell you to stop doing something, and to do that, the inspector believes that there is something providing an imminent risk or a significant imminent risk. Therefore, that stays in place whilst the appeal is going on. And bear in mind, these appeals can take a long time. So whatever it is, let's say that's the thing that makes 50% of your profits until you've got to stop. There's the machine that provides 50% of your profits and you've been breach of section 2, so you haven't maintained that plant, that piece of plant or equipment, and it's so bad that this HSE inspector, who's a police officer on steroids, waltzes in and says, boom, prohibition notice, stop what you're doing. That produces your most profitable product. Boom, bankrupt, up shit creek without a boat, let alone a paddle. So, you know, it's kind of like they put these enforcement things in, but the thing is to notice that it's in section 2 that eventually it's going to come around and bite you in the ass. Because if it doesn't bite you in the ass because this guy turns up and slaps a prohibition on you, it's going to bite you in the ass because the machine's not as productive as it used to be. Yeah? It's basically spending money to make money. And this is why people say that good safety is good business. Yeah? Because if you're doing all the stuff in section 2 as an employer and you're maintaining stuff, you know, you're following PUA and all these other regs, and you're maintaining your equipment and looking after it, it becomes good equipment. It lasts longer, it produces more, and it makes more money for you. So yeah, section 20, it's not really massively important to you guys, really. It's just important now that you know that HSE inspectors are the police on steroids. So next interesting one is more for big, massive corporations. Jesus Christ, I can't get my words out today. Excuse me. So, section 37. Offensive by the bodies corporate. This is interesting. This basically says, right, offensive, section 37, offensive by the bodies corporate, where an offence under any of the relevant statutory provisions committed by a body corporate is proved to have been committed with the consent or convenience. Oh, do you know what, I can't bother to read it out. Basically, it means if you're on the board, you can also be found guilty for the stuff that the business has gone if you know or have given consent to or knowingly just not done anything about it, and that resulted in a fatality or something, and the business there was therefore was in breach of a section, therefore a person on the board is liable. So offence to the body's corporate can mean that person can be found guilty of the offence. And if it's a corporation that's managed by like members, then they're basically treated the same as the director of the body corporate. Yeah, so it's just an interesting one to know. Probably not for many of my listeners, because I doubt there's any massive corporations listening. Anyway, in summary, they are pretty much in my opinion, the sections that I think you need to know. Now, like I said earlier, there are a lot of sections in there. But I've said over and over and over again that you do not need to know that much about the law, and these are brief summaries. What I have told you today is literally all you need to know. Section 2, general duties of employers to their employees. Section 3, general duties of employers and self-employed persons to persons other than their employees. Section 4, general FYI, section 3, that would also apply to landlords. Anyway, section 4, general duties of persons concerned with premises to persons other than their employer. General duties of persons concerned with premises. So that also is landlords and building facilities companies, things like that. Interesting one. Yeah, so where I previously have managed places where the public go, essentially, you know, we have a duty to the public, who is any other persons other than their employees, to keep them safe. That's 3 and 4 right there. Section 6, general duties, manufacturers, etc., as regards articles and substances for use at work. Section 7, general duties of employees at work. Section 8, do not interfere or misuse things provided pursuant to certain provisions. Section 9, do not charge employees for things done or provided pursuant to certain requirements. Scroll all the way down. Section 20, powers of inspectors, fucking everything. Section 37 is offences by the body corporate. That is pretty much all you need to know about the Health and Safety at Work Act, guys. Keep that in mind. So, let's overview then of so far as reasonably practicable. It's a complicated phrase. Some people find, some people don't like it, some people think it doesn't really tell you what you need to do. And no, it doesn't. And that's the reason. The reason why it's like that is because they could never write one act to suit everybody. It would just be impossible. So the point is to put all these things in to cover everything. Is everything is based on risk management, risk assessment, so far as reasonably practicable. Yeah. So basically, they're telling you to weigh up investment versus risk. And why do I say investment and not cost? Because previously I have, and previously a lot of people referred to it as cost. Well, I had an interesting conversation with a friend of mine who said when we refer to reasonably practicable as cost versus risk, we should say investment versus risk, because investment means a lot more than cost. So it means the man hours, it means, and whilst anyone who's sensible would include all that in cost, but also kind of like the stress that it puts on a person to do some of these tasks, the time it takes, you know, the travel, it's about considering a more kind of holistic impact of the business as opposed to just the cost, reputational, things like that. You know, sometimes you might have a very good reputational impact by going a little bit ahead of everybody else. So, current industry around fire, there's a lot of businesses, or not a lot, but there's a few housing associations that are taking a forward step and going, let's put sprinklers everywhere, because it's becoming a good news story. Is it right? Is it wrong? I think it's a conversation for another day. I think there's opinions for both, for sure. But anyway, that is not what today's podcast is about. So that's why we kind of say investment versus risk. And I think that is a very good way to put it. So the old kind of way we look at it is we get the kind of like the scales. Yeah, so you got to imagine that you put in all the time and the cost and everything, all the investment, everything it takes to control that risk on one side of the scale, and the severity and the likelihood of that, therefore the risk, on the other end, and see what outweighs the other. And you need to make a risk-based decision, and you don't need to be a professional to do that. You need to be a reasonable person. And it's, what's a reasonable person? A reasonable person is someone that just looks at something and goes, shit, that hurt. Or, nah, you're going over the top there. Yeah, we're all reasonable persons, but we're all just a bit scared to make these decisions. And if you're a business owner, you're not scared to take risks financially, to go out on your own and be an entrepreneur. So stop being scared to make decisions. Excuse me. Stop being scared to be making decisions around health and safety and protecting your employees. You should be brave. And if that means going over the top in one thing and not over the top with another thing, then do it. But, you know, it's you and your team and your employees together making those decisions. And that's the key. Not so much knowing all this in the Health and Safety at Work Act. And kind of in summary, that's my point here, is to not get dumbed down and not get real weighed down, probably is a better way to say it, on the law. Because I hear a lot all the time, oh, I can't do this, health and safety regulation. Can't really, like, the regulations don't really say much. It's all based around risk. It's all basically, you know, have a think about this risk and have a think about that risk, and if you don't have a think about this risk, we're going to slap you with a Section 2 enforcement and boom, you go down into jail. And that's it. In summary, you know, when I go on a lot of training courses and they say, like, you know, they're talking to middle managers as well, you know, and they say, oh, you could go to jail. And I just think they're so, they're like, yes, you could. In summary, pretty much anyone can go to jail from the Health and Safety at Work Act. You know, it covers pretty much everything. It's beautiful how much it covers. It is so to the point and so nailed down, it's flawless. But the likelihood is unbelievable. You know, so if you cut the gloves off, your cut-proof gloves, let's say, for example, you cut the gloves off, the next question in a good investigation would be, why did they cut the gloves off? Well, I cut the gloves off because I couldn't use the touchscreen on the machine. Oh, and also because the tips of the gloves pulled my fingers into the rollers. Ah, so actually, it was quite reasonable for you to cut the ends off the gloves. Boom, now it's not the employee, it's the employer that's in trouble. Yeah, so you just need to have these conversations with yourself when you're thinking about health and safety at work. Okay, I have literally spoken way too much about this because I always moan and moan and moan about people that go on way too much about health and safety at work, and I've just gone on for about 30 minutes about it. So, my throat is starting to give up, as you can probably hear. I have coughed quite a lot and I haven't cut them out, so I apologise, because if I had to cut out every cough, I would be here all bloody day. I haven't got all bloody day. So, next week we are going to do, again, we're going to be talking about a bit of law. We're going to go into the Management Health and Safety at Work regulations. So we're going to do maybe like a little short series of a handful of regulations, key regulations, I think, where we're just going to explain what they say. So you guys can feel enabled to do what you do, make money, and not get scared of health and safety, because it's really not as scary as what we think. So next week, come back for managing... Management of Health and Safety at Work regulations. There we go. Anyway, I'm off, people. Thanks for listening. I've been James. This is Rebranding Safety. Catch you later. Bye.